Just another day closer to death.
Well, you know, if we get into a world war with Iran and, you know, good times.
Well, Goose Creek should be one of the first hit, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
Welcome back, John.
Well, Happy New Year.
It's been a minute since we talked.
It has.
Yeah.
What's going on? Anything new?
Oh, you know, end of the world type stuff, but whatever.
Hey, you know, that's a good thing because that means that nobody comes after you. You are it.
I guess. I guess that's the positive way to look at it, right?
Right.
Like, there's plenty of time to sleep when you're dead. You don't have to worry about bills or fucking car payments or anything like that.
That's right. The big sleep.
Yeah. Maybe that's not so bad. I don't know. When was that? The last time we talked was right before Christmas, so...
Yep.
I've been to New Jersey since then.
I'm sorry.
Stop it. I went and visited my dad. For New Year's, and it was nice.
Yeah.
He went to bed at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So it was like,
oh jeez.
Okay. Drive up was fucking terrible. Drive back was terrible, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
South Carolina to New Jersey is not a fun drive either way.
Yeah.
It's a long fucking time, man.
Hmm.
We went on our trip north. We decided that instead of going past Washington and getting caught in that traffic, we would go over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and sold it to the kid of like, you're going to go on this long bridge with these tunnels and you're going to get up and you're going to see all this kinds of water and it's going to be great. There's going to be ships. And then we got there and it was fogged in.
Oh.
And I was like, she was like, where's the water? I said, it's behind the fog. I don't know what you want me to say. But it was weird because it was only the bridge. Like driving up to it, it was clear. We paid the I don't want to say the admission price, but the toll to go over the bridge.
Yeah.
And drove up and towards the first part of the bridge and there was instant fog. And I was like, well, fuck me. Okay, well maybe it's not foggy farther out.
Yeah.
Every time we went down a tunnel and up a tunnel and onto the main causeway and then back down in the tunnel, it was all fogged in. And then we got to the other side and went right past the toll plaza on the other side, going back the other way. It was completely clear.
Oh.
So it was just the bridge. So,
wow.
Yeah, my kid was like, oh, okay. Sure, I believe you, there was a bridge there. It's like, there was. She only threw up twice, so that's a good personal best.
Oh, God. She gets car sick?
When she watches movies and then looks out the window, she does.
Oh.
So, we made it to Virginia the first time and we've learned to carry empty bags with us.
Yeah.
So got to Virginia and it was right before noon when I heard the first like blah behind me. and then, you know, she gets done.
Does she have good aim?
Yes, she does.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I will tell you a story about that in a minute. So she throws up and then she was like, it got to be just about noon. And she was like, Dad, I'm hungry. And I was like, are you sure you can eat? And she said, yeah. I said, okay. Well, she made it up until, I shit you not, a block from my father's house.
Oh, wow.
And then I hear, uh-oh, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. But the story that I wanted to tell you was that, last year for, what was it? Spring break. My wife took the kid down to Florida and she rented a car to go down there. And they come home and they pull in the driveway and I meet them in the driveway and the kid just has tears in her eyes.
Okay.
And I open the door and I say, "What's the matter?" And as I open the door, I get this whiff in my face. Oof. And she didn't have any bags.
Yeah.
And she projectile vomited all over the back of the car.
Oh.
So apparently they were about 15 minutes from home when this happened.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden my wife's driving and she feels something like splatter on the back of her head. And all over the back of the rental car. So we're having to clean the rental car and make sure there's no puke and get it all out. But like, yeah. So we've learned to stash a bunch of bags next to her.
Oh God.
Yeah.
You could just tape her mouth shut.
No.
No?
Because then it'll come out her nose.
Well, tape her nose shut.
You can't do both.
Why not?
Because then she can't breathe.
Oh. Say that like it's a bad thing.
It is.
Okay.
She's now at the age of being easily embarrassed.
Okay.
So it's been major fun for me.
I bet.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best part of being a dad.
Last night we went to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And if you go on the Chick-fil-A careers page on their website, there is a picture of a guy with the world's largest pepper mill that is at a table with a woman with a salad, and he's grinding pepper onto her salad. So naturally, I saw this, and I went up to the manager. And I said, "Hey, I got a question for you." And I showed her the picture. I said, "How do I apply to be the peppermill guy?" And that was exactly her response, too. She just laughed out loud. She looked at the picture. She said, "That is hysterical. I've never seen that before." Well,
oh, wow.
That embarrassed my kid to no end last night. I can't believe you did that. I said, "Why? What if she had a really shitty day and that made her day?"
Right.
I said, "You can't think of it like it's embarrassing you. I'm making somebody else laugh." So yeah, she's quite embarrassed of me now.
Oh, wait till she starts developing boobs.
Yeah, well. Ah, good times.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Wait till she has her first boyfriend.
Mm.
And I'm like, "Hey, come here, kid. Let's have a talk.
Time to buy a shotgun."
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it's been a fun couple of weeks. It's been very hard to go back to work.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
I actually think 3 weeks is too long to be away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so hard to get back into the swing of things last week.
Yeah.
That it was like, maybe if I spread out my time off and didn't do 3 weeks all at once, that it would be easier.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we'll see. So did you do anything fun over the holidays?
I did not. I had to work on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that sucks.
Wasn't really work. I went in at 3. I was out by 4. So, yeah, but I didn't do anything. That's amateur night. I stay home. It's safe.
Well, and you live in an area where you can go see fireworks at one of a dozen places every night.
Yes.
Like 4th of July and New Year's is definitely not the same thing in Orlando as it is everywhere else.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I tried to explain that to my kid and she just doesn't understand it. It's like, but I lived in an apartment where
fireworks?
I could hear fireworks every night.
Yeah, right?
What was your question? You kind of
could walk up to the clubhouse and watch them every night.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not special.
Nope. I did take the family to go see Star Wars Episode 9. Recently. So I've seen it twice now.
Okay, good. What did they think?
Well, I mean, the kid doesn't really know any better. She's never seen the prequels. She's only seen like Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
She liked it well enough, and the wife liked it. From all the conversations I've had with people that have liked it, it seems that you fall into one of two categories. Either you overanalyze it like me and you have problems with it, or you go to watch a movie that happens to be a science fiction film and you find it that it's okay.
Okay.
Cause my brother-in-law had the same issues that I had with it, and he was like overanalyzing it.
Uh-huh.
This time I will say I enjoyed it more just because I knew what to expect, and I could just sit and watch it without like all of the stuff in the back of my mind getting in the way. And while I still have a ton of problems with the film, it's definitely way better than Last Jedi.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as good as The Force Awakens.
Okay.
The one part that still gets me is the Goonies-esque part where they're standing on the shoreline on Endor.
Yeah.
And she pulls out the knife and she pulls out the little measuring thing, and she happens to be standing on the exact spot, like the exact right spot on the shore, in order to line everything up so she knows where the wayfinder thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that part still bugs me.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just happy that there's good Star Wars television on.
Yes.
Did you finish The Mandalorian?
I did.
Yeah. Would you think of the season as a whole?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved the storytelling. Loved the way the episodes were laid out. Loved the way everything looked. Liked the characters. I thought it was great. I loved the stormtrooper punching Baby Yoda in the head.
Yeah, so apparently that was Jason Sudeikis.
And Adam Pally.
And like,
yep.
I was watching that episode and I was like, why is this playing like a comedy skit from SNL? Like, it was really bizarre the first time I watched it. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, they take out their guns and they can't hit the thing on the
right
ground, and they're like shaking it, and then you just want to see it, and maybe we should give it some water, and then it bites the dude in the hand and he punches it in the face. And I was like, wow, this is a really weird opening for this, but it somehow works. And I got really excited at the Darksaber thing at the end.
Yes.
I was the only one in the room that knew what that was when it came out of the ship at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And they were like, my wife was like, what are you getting so excited about? I was like, the Darksaber. They're bringing the Darksaber. And she was like, I have no idea what that means. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's really cool.
Right.
And like, my kid kept being like, well, what is that? I said, it's a Mandalorian lightsaber. Don't worry about it. It's going to be awesome. So now there's all these questions of like, so is Gideon a Mandalorian? Is he a former Jedi?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's all these questions now that like we're gonna have to wait until fucking November now.
Right. And this series is between Jedi and Force Awakens?
Yes. Years. This takes place 5 years after the Battle of Endor.
Okay.
So it would be a couple of years removed from the Battle of Jakku.
Right.
And I did appreciate, I don't know if we talked about this last time, that they introduced the force healing thing on Mandalorian before Star Wars came out.
Yes.
So that when Rey does it, you're like, oh, I've seen that before.
Right.
How did you feel about them removing the Mandalorian's helmet?
It gives him a vulnerability now.
Okay.
That you can put a face to the character.
Right.
It's just going to be interesting to see how it affects him psychologically. Because he's tried so hard to follow the creed and not, you know, not show his face.
Right.
And then at this point, he kind of didn't have a choice.
Well, and as IG-11 said, he's like, I'm not alive.
Right, right.
Like, you're not breaking your creed, technically.
Right, because I'm not living.
Right, and IG-11 blows up, so...
That's true.
It's not like IG-11 can sit there and be like, look, I can just tell everybody what you look like if you don't do what I say.
It's like finding out who Batman is and then getting killed.
Why, it's Bruce Wayne. Boom.
Batman is... Bang.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it would have been majorly cool, though, if they never revealed his face.
Yeah.
As if they were just like, look, we told you he's not going to take it off, so we're not going to do it. I understand, like, maybe Pedro Pascal was like, hey, I want people to see me in the outfit. Or right. Whatever. Especially after all that stuff came out that, like, oh, it's not really him under there, and most of the time it's John Wayne's grandson, and...
Right. Wouldn't that be funny? If he's done all of his voiceover work in, like, an afternoon, and he was never on the set?
Well, that's what they were saying. Dallas Bryce Howard said that she never worked with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
That she only worked with John Wayne's grandson. And that she didn't even realize that, like, who had been cast as the Mandalorian.
Right.
So I thought that that was kind of interesting that, like, they were even hiding it from everybody else.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think this show is unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm.
And it just,
yes, definitely.
It just proves that, like, Disney keeps saying that, like, oh no, people have Star Wars fatigue. Well, obviously they don't.
Right.
They have story fatigue from The Last Jedi and the movies that don't make any sense amongst right. each other.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's such a weird thing when Disney tries to say that shit. Oh, you can't do that kind of stuff in a row. Okay, tell that to Marvel.
Right.
Because Marvel's doing fucking 4 movies a year.
Yeah. Plus their slate for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, Star Wars needs to step it up.
Well, and I think... So I think one of the things that I read is that Kathleen Kennedy... Her contract goes till 2021.
Okay.
And she is not going to renew the contract. Like, she's going to be in the process of stepping down. And
okay.
I would love to see her either give the company to Dave Filoni to run. I mean,
oh, hell yeah.
I think like if they would give it to him and Favreau would step in as kind of like the head of the Star Wars brand.
Mm-hmm.
And just produce stuff. He doesn't have to direct. He can just produce it. I think they could go very right. far with the TV brand.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I think that's kind of where the future lies. Because now they've said that Disney is stepping away from the trilogy aspect of the movies. That they're only going to do one movie at a time, and they're not going to promise a sequel unless it does really well.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of lends itself to, like, I think that the TV side could step in and fill that gap of, like, you want long form content with these characters. Here you go. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Right.
Because, like, the Obi-Wan thing's coming out and the Cassian Andor thing's coming out.
Uh-huh.
They had talked about after, sometime beginning of this year, they were going to release what they're going to be doing as far as the rest of their plans for Disney, or for Star Wars. So I'm interested to see where that all goes. I'm assuming that'll probably be Celebration. Where is Celebration this year?
I think it's Anaheim. Yeah, I know.
Those bastards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you watched any TV over the holidays? Have you discovered anything new?
I have not. I've been watching the same old thing. I'm catching up my last week of DVR stuff after being away.
Okay.
But, we still have to wait for the finale of Infinite Earth,
Right.
which I hope is worth it.
Did we talk? Did how much did we talk about that last time? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Because I kind of feel like maybe we didn't talk. We only saw a couple of them, maybe. We didn't see like the last one when we
Could
recorded
be.
last time.
Yeah.
I really feel like, and apologies if we did talk about this, that they missed an opportunity, a major opportunity for a cliffhanger.
Sure.
It's interesting where they wind up and that they're at the place from the first episode, for the first season of, what was that show? Legends of Tomorrow. They're at that place that's like beyond time and space and like that space station thing. I really feel like they should have shown Earth One being blown up,
Really?
wiped out, and then credits. Instead of this thing where like they get whisked away and then you find out that Superman is replaced by Lex Luthor.
Right.
I really feel like they could have done it better justice if the last thing that you saw was Earth One being wiped out and them on the Wave Rider just like, oh, what do we do now? Like I felt they took it just a little bit too far.
They have an awful lot to cover and an awful lot to wrap up.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the fact that they've brought in other characters that happened in the past, like Tom Welling and what's the name? Durrance coming
Right.
back as Clark and Lois. I liked the first cameo of Burt Ward walking down the street,
Yeah.
kind of wearing the same colors as his costume. It's like, okay, that's good. They didn't try to squeeze him into a costume.
No, and that was always the thing. Like they were very specific to what those cameos would be. Like he's Dick Grayson, but it's never called to into attention or like they even went as far as like the Huntress from the Birds of
Yes.
Prey TV show. Where
Yes.
you're like, oh, okay, I remember that. And like she's talking to Oracle and then like she disappears and you're like, oh, okay. Okay, like if you knew who that was, if you had followed like the CW stuff way back in the day, you completely understood what that was. And I appreciated that. Like I've been a nerd long enough to where I was like, okay, cool. Like this is specifically for me and the people that have held on this long.
Yes. I liked the Kevin Conroy Batman no longer being a good guy.
Yep.
That was kind of an interesting little twist.
Yep.
I'm not sure how I feel about the Paragons. It
Yeah.
seems too comic booky compared to the tone of the film of the series,
Yeah, I can see that.
especially Arrow. But it is interesting that they're trying to find these people who can, defeat the Anti-Monitor. Really curious as to what happens to Harbinger.
Yeah.
Is she saved? Is she dead? What's going on there? I thought the little cameo of Lucifer was cool.
Yep.
That was really nice. Yeah, I'm anxious to wrap it up this week. It's like, let's see where we're going.
Yeah, they have an opportunity. We'll see how well they can stick the landing. I mean, it felt really weird, like the whole thing where they go into purgatory that just happens to look like Lee and you.
Yes.
And they find Arrow and he's like, okay, I'll come with you. And then this guy walks out from behind a tree and is like, I'm the Spectre.
Yes.
Now you need to be the Spectre. Come with me. And Oliver looks at his adult daughter and says, I got to go with him. And it's like, that's so out of character that it feels rushed of like, okay, we have to get him to be the Spectre so that if we need him later on down the road, he can guest star as the Spectre. He can show up and be like, ah, here you go, with some pearl of wisdom, and then be gone and not have to carry a show.
Sure.
But still, it's so out of character with some of that stuff that I don't know how they wrap it up in 2 hours and it feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kept saying like everything that you see in this will not be retconned. Like it's not going to be a thing where like we defeat the Anti-Monitor and then all of a sudden, like things are back to the way they were, but they've now destroyed every single Earth.
Right.
So how do they go back to that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if the destroyed Earths are going to recreate themselves in a different form.
Or like there's only one Earth now?
Well, that there's one Earth, but then these other Earths are back, but they're not how they used to be.
Hmm.
You know, they're not reflections of Earth One.
I mean,
they're
it would all
totally
be
different.
Really ballsy to do that and to send all these people back to their Earths and their shows are completely different. I mean, that would be very cool. I don't think that's a CW though.
No, I think they're going to go just far enough and then go back to what they are known for.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to risk, because that would be a bold move.
That would be amazing.
To totally restructure everything we know.
Yep.
That's a reboot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll have to see.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
But I'm looking forward to it. It was nice that Black Lightning has a little cameo. I'm glad I didn't have to watch his show to follow the storyline.
Apparently,
no offense, but
it was like there was an entire episode that revolved around the Red Skies, and apparently, like screwed up his family, and that's why he's all like pissed off when he shows up.
But, oh,
I mean it. You didn't have to watch it. I was a little lost in the Supergirl one with all the people that showed up. I was like, well, who's that? And who's that? And I was like, but that's my fault for not watching that show. So I don't know. Whatever. I know you don't have Netflix, but I went through The Witcher. Have you seen the trailer for that?
That's Henry Cavill?
Yep. It's
I've seen bits and pieces on it, but I'm not real interested in it.
It's a very interesting Game of Thrones type world.
Okay.
I think Henry Cavill was kind of born to play this part.
Oh, okay.
He's a big enough nerd. Like, he always tells the story about when Zack Snyder called to tell him that he had Superman, that he missed the call because he was too busy playing World of Warcraft. And that, you know, so he's this huge nerd. He loved the Witcher books, and he's putting parts into this that are in the books for the book fans and, like, really trying to sell this world. And it's done really, really well. It's got a big budget, so most of the visual effects look good. There's a couple of times and I was like, oh, that's a TV budget, but you know, what are you going to do? It's the first season.
Right.
But the only issue that I have with it is that the, and this is kind of a spoiler warning, but whatever, the first season isn't told in order.
Okay.
So they're jumping around from character to character, but it's, you could go from one character in the present to another character like 10 years in the past, and uh-huh. they don't make any reference to the fact that it's the past. So you get really okay. confused around episode 3, where all of a sudden people who died in episode 1 are back. And I was like, wait a minute, that person isn't alive anymore. And then I started doing research, and it's like, oh yeah, it's told like all out of order. And I was like, okay, well, knowing that, I can kind of deal with it going forward. But if you don't know about it, it's a little disconcerting. So if you ever do watch it, just keep that in mind.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch the Golden Globes last week?
I didn't, but I recorded it. Okay. Is it worth watching?
I mean, the Ricky Gervais monologue is pretty funny. He basically was like, I'll come and do this, but it's the last time I'm ever going to do it. So he just kind of rips apart everybody.
Uh-huh.
He rips apart Apple with Tim Cook sitting in the room. And Ooh. Basically says, you know, for a company that runs sweatshops. And they, you know, they cut to Tim Cook and he's just kind of sitting there. You know, he basically, not Tim Cook, but Ricky Gervais basically told the audience, he's like, don't use your speech time to say something political. Nobody cares. You guys aren't woke enough, whatever. Just thank your parents and your agent and fuck off. And, you know, he's absolutely right. Like, nobody wants to hear that shit. Like, you're a fucking actor. Come on. That didn't stop people from not giving political speeches, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. All doesn't matter. We'll all be dead soon anyway.
Well, before you die.
Yeah.
And since you have Netflix.
Uh-huh.
Are you a fan of John Mulaney?
The comedian guy?
Yes.
I know who he is. I wouldn't say I'm a fan.
He has a new special called John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
Okay.
And it's basically a children's show written for adults.
Okay.
So it's very twisted. It's very wrong. It's very funny. My friend's son, Jacob, is one of the kids in the Sack Lunch Bunch.
Oh, really?
And he's getting a lot of attention for this. He's very funny. I don't know how to describe him without you watching any of the clips, but they do like one sequence where they have all these kids talking about what they're afraid of the most.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, I'm afraid of dying. But I don't want to drown. it's funny. Andre DeShields is in it. If you don't know who he was, he played, the Wizard in The Wiz way okay. back when.
Yep.
He plays a tutor that comes to John Mulaney's house to tutor his son. And it's this weird production number. Jake Gyllenhaal is in it. And he's got this song. He plays Mr. Music.
Okay.
And he's got this song about how ordinary things, you know, make noise and noise is music. But it's things like throwing your shirt in the hamper. And, you know, it makes no noise. And he just gets more and more frustrated through the whole song as he keeps doing these things that don't make noise.
What does your friend's kid look like?
Curly hair, big glasses.
Curly hair, big glasses.
His name's Jacob.
Jacob.
He's in a blue shirt.
I'm trying to see. Like, it auto-played a trailer, but...
Uh-huh.
Let me see if it'll. Because there's like a blonde kid sitting next to him or something.
No.
With big bug eyes.
Look for Sack Lunch Bunch clips.
Oh, okay. And it's the kid that's with somebody sitting next to a volcano on the table?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. That's David Byrne from Talking Heads.
Oh, holy shit, it is.
And then they have he has a production number, which is pretty funny.
Okay.
But Jacob is like trending on Twitter. People are saying they're going to be Jacob for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for that kid.
He was just on Broadway in The Rose Tattoo with Marissa Tomei.
Oh, wow.
He's done a lot of little stuff, but this is probably going to launch him.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah, very cool.
And you could say you knew him back when.
I knew him back when. That's right. I was at one of his birthday parties.
There you go. I once gave you a birthday card. Give me money.
I gave him a sticker book.
Ooh, there you go.
Yes.
Maybe that sticker book changed his life, though. What if one day he's up accepting an award and he goes, you know what? There was this guy. I don't remember his name. But he gave me the sticker book, and it changed my life.
Yes, I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
You don't know. Strangest things could be, you know.
Right.
So do you have Netflix now?
No, I found it somewhere else online.
Oh, okay. I got you.
There are places to go.
Yeah, oh, no, I know.
The gray web.
Yeah, oh, that's how I watch 90% of the stuff now.
Yeah. This show's pretty funny. It's like three little girls interviewing Richard Kind.
Okay.
And you know, Richard Kind is just kind of this dorky older man. And yeah, you got to watch it to see it.
Yeah,
check it out.
Richard Kind was in Spin City.
Yes.
I don't remember what his name was in there, but he was the dude.
Yeah, he worked in the mayor's office. Was he the PR guy?
Yes, he was the guy that would start all the meetings, the press conferences.
Yes.
He's done a ton of voices for Pixar.
Yep.
So yeah, Richard, you'd know Richard Kind if you saw him.
Yes.
He played the mayor on Gotham too, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he was mayor in the beginning, and then Penguin takes over, and then he's mayor again at some point. Like it was a very weird thing. Like you could keep going back to being mayor, I guess.
Yeah.
Good times.
Apparently we're getting a Willow TV series.
I saw that, but it's not really going to be about Willow. It's going to be about Laura Dannon.
Right.
Who is the kid in the movie.
Yeah. Willow is the one who protected the kid.
Right.
And God knows they cannot bring Mad Mardigan back because Val Kilmer is in really rough shape.
And that's the thing. Like you have to write around a whole bunch of shit in order to get this to work. You can't go back to that main cast. Like there's got to be a thing in the first episode where they're like, let's go get Mad Mardigan. Oh, he was killed in the bar fight. Or something like.
Right.
You can't do that because a lot of those people aren't around anymore or not in the best shape or.
Right. But there has to be a role for Warwick Davis.
Well, they said Willow's going to be in it. They said that there's going to be a large role for Warwick Davis, but it's not about his character.
Right.
That it will
be. And that makes perfect sense.
Well, yeah, because like why, like who was Laura Dannon? Why did she need to be protected? And like, there's all these questions that were never answered because they were going to do a bunch of sequels that never happened. And so you're just kind of left wondering, but yeah.
Right. Right. And it's being produced by the son of Lawrence Kasdan.
which
produced Empire Strikes Back,
which has at least like that. It's got that going for it. Like right. That dude seems to have his head on his shoulder. So we'll see. I mean, I guess you can get Joanne Whatley back to be Sorsha.
Can you? I mean, what does she look like today?
Not bad. She was in a bunch of episodes of Daredevil in season 3.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, she's still in decent.
Oh, she was married to Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where they met.
Okay.
And then Val Kilmer's ego got in the way.
She doesn't look. Yeah. I could see her going, yeah, I could see that happening.
Like if she's the queen or something. You know, she doesn't have to be in it a lot.
She's what?
Like if she's the queen?
No, not at all. Yes.
You know, I think you could do that. But, I mean, hopefully they don't bring back the brownies.
Oh, see, I think a lot of people are waiting for the brownies.
I mean, I don't know if Kevin Pollak would do it. I'm sure Rick Overton would.
Oh, Kevin Pollak would do it.
You think so?
Oh, sure. He was killed off of Mom.
Oh,
and now he's on Mrs. Maisel. Oh. Yeah. I think he'd do it.
Okay. It'd be nice if they could, I don't know, make it more of a serious thing, but whatever.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Did you watch the most recent episode of The Good Place?
You know, I have fallen off The Good Place. I watched a couple of episodes in the beginning of the season, and then they had like these really weird breaks. So I never knew when it was coming back, and I know it was on, and I have never gotten back onto it.
Mm.
So tell me about it. What's going on?
So they're in front of the judge, and the judge has pretty much decided that the afterlife isn't working, so she's going to wipe it out. The four main characters are trying to come up with an alternative to the afterlife that's amenable to both her and to, you know, the guy who runs the bad place. There's a really weird cameo by Timothy Oliphant.
Really?
Very bizarre, but very funny. Yeah. Chidi finally professes his love for Eleanor.
Okay.
There's this great sequence where all of the bad Janets are being destroyed, frozen, turned into marbles, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And all the bad Janets have different personalities. There's Disco Janet, who's got roller skates, and it's very funny. I just hope it goes out very well. The sight gags in the neighborhood were funny this week. There's a gift shop kiosk called Joni Loves Tchotchkes. there's another one called Ponzu Scheme, and the bar called Foot Logger.
Nice.
Those are the funniest things to me is the puns that they come up with for those visual gags.
Right. So does it seem like it's
so? Yeah. I mean,
so
it's
this is the end of the show, right? Like this season.
End of the show. Yes.
So, Do you feel like they can wrap it up well?
They're still keeping my interest.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many episodes they have left, but this was number 10. So I don't know if it's a half season order or what that was.
Let me look it up. The Good Place. Come on, internet. Episode guide. Let's see. This is season 4. They have 4 more.
Okay.
There's 4.
So 14 episodes.
There's 14 episodes.
Hmm. That's an odd number.
Apparently 13 and 14 are going to show on the same night. On the 30th of January, according to this.
Yeah. Okay.
So. That should be interesting. I might have to try to catch up at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's been very well written, and the whole concept of what they're trying to achieve still intrigues me as to, you know, it's not the good place, it's not the bad place. What exactly is this?
Right.
So I want to see how it wraps up.
Do you think I have to watch them all, or can I just like jump into it?
I think you should catch up from where you stopped.
Okay.
Because there's some important plot points that happen that if you start watching, you're going to be, what?
Problem is, I don't remember where I stopped.
Well, just start with the season.
Ugh.
It's only 10 hours. It's nothing. 40 minutes. Come on.
Are they hour longs now?
I don't remember. No, maybe it was just half hour. I can't tell. I had a very full DVR this weekend.
I'm sure you did.
Yes.
That's a nice thing about not having cut the cable, man. Cut the cord.
Yeah.
You watch what you watch.
But then I'm not going to know what's... But I'm not going to see the big hair episode of Mixed Dish.
Oh, Jesus.
I only watch Mixed-ish or actually Black-ish for the grandparents, Lawrence Fishburne and Jennifer Lewis.
Yeah.
Because they are just hilarious.
Well, I mean, that's one of those things, like, not everybody thinks of Lawrence Fishburne as a comedic actor, but...
That's right.
When you find out that these people are good in comedy...
Yes.
Makes that all different.
Speaking of who you don't think of as a comedic actress, Kathleen Turner was on the most recent episode of Mom. And she plays a relative of Kirsten Johnson. Kirsten Johnson, who was on 30 Rock...
Okay.
Who's now a very healthy girl?
Okay.
As opposed to what she looked like on 30 Rock.
Okay.
And Kathleen Turner looks like she could be related to her. And it was very funny. I don't think of Kathleen Turner as a funny performer, other than Serial Mom.
Well, that's true.
But to see where she's gone from, what was it, Body Heat?
Yeah.
To where she is today, it's like, oh, life hasn't been good.
So that means you didn't watch, you weren't a big Friends fan, were you?
I watched enough of it because she was Chandler's mother, wasn't she?
Yeah, and it was a very like...
Father.
Yeah, it was his father that was a cross-dresser.
But he's a drag queen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
And then who was Morgan Fairchild's kid?
I think that was his mother.
Oh, that was his mother. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think I've seen most of Friends.
Okay. Because that was a comedic turn for her.
Yeah. And then she did the Broadway tour of The Graduate.
Hmm.
She had a nude scene, and Howard Stern people would plant themselves in the audience so that when the scene came up, they'd scream out, "For God's sake, Kathleen, put your clothes back on!"
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not looking too healthy there.
No. She's what, 106?
Something like that. Born in 1954. You do the math.
She's 65.
Mm-hmm.
11 years older than me.
Oh.
Have you seen the latest list of celebrities for MegaCon?
No, I haven't.
There will be a Saved by the Bell reunion.
Oh. Really?
Yes. Mario Lopez, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Elizabeth Berkley. Brendan Fraser is going to be there on one day. Oh, only one day.
Oh, really? See, now that's somebody I'd like to meet.
Yeah. Yeah. Giancarlo Esposito for The Mandalorian and Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Weird Al. The new Chewbacca.
Of course.
The Hobbits will be there again. Okay. Elijah Wood, Sean Astin, Billy Boyd, Dominic Monaghan. Hot off his cameo in Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. Can't really say he had a role. Apparently he was a historian, according to the visual guide.
Oh, is that what his character was supposed to be?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he basically, somebody at the premiere asked him about his role, and he basically said something along the lines of, he's nothing more than a cameo now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, to get off track for 1 minute here, I don't know if you've read the production problems that Rise of Skywalker faced. But
no.
As of September of 2019, 3 months before release, there were three cuts of the movie.
Oh, wow.
There was the Disney version, the Lucasfilm version, and the J.J. Abrams version.
Okay.
And the reports from inside Lucasfilm said that the J.J. Abrams version directly had hands-on involvement from George Lucas in it. And that Bob Iger said that the Disney version was the one that was going to go out, and they were reshooting up until the end of October to make what you see in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So they said there's all kinds of stuff. Like, the movie was supposed to open with a flashback of Luke and Leia fighting with lightsabers that gets kind of put in the other side, like towards the middle of the movie.
Okay.
That's supposed to happen in the beginning, and that's how, like you understand that Leia has been through the training and that she has a lightsaber, and why the lightsaber just doesn't show up in the end. Like, there's this whole thing, and it was like, wow, okay, that kind of sucks. But
right.
Anyway, I digress. Going back to Brendan Fraser, his autograph is $80. I don't know if that's worth it.
That's not worth it. For somebody who's not working anymore?
No, he's working. He's on Doom Patrol.
Yeah, well.
Doom Patrol is an amazing TV show.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Either way. I'll take your word for it.
I mean, for something happening that's in April, there's not an awful lot of people on their guest list.
No.
And most of them aren't appearing all 4 days.
Yeah.
There's literally
maybe
one
that's
person
how they're getting them now.
That is appearing all 4 days, and that's the Chewbacca guy.
Yeah, because what else is he going to do? He's going to go stand in line for Rise of the Resistance at Disney. It would be cool if they could get Gina Carino and Pedro Pascal as well, but probably not.
I think Pedro Pascal would be totally down for that.
Yeah.
He seems, in the interviews that I've seen with him, he seems like he'd be a good sport about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Elijah Wood's autograph is $80.
Yeah, see, that's way out of my price range for some of these people. But, I mean, I understand it, because you can't sell it for $20 and have, 3,000 people in line waiting for them.
Right.
So you figure out what that threshold is.
I mean, Mario Lopez is $50. Come on.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How much would it be to have my have Elizabeth Berkley sign my thing of Showgirls? $50.
Is she worth it?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. I just think it'd be funny to bring that to her.
I think she gets a lot of showgirl stuff to sign.
I'm sure she does.
I would say that's what it is. Because that's what she's known for.
Yeah. Yep, she did Saved by the Bell and then she got naked.
Yes.
And it looks like Weird Al is the only one that has a table photo price. Which is $35.
That's not too bad.
I will never understand table photos. Like, the pricing of that. Like,
right.
Literally, I'm taking a picture of my
camera.
A photo
on your phone.
Yeah.
Leaning over a table, yep. Right?
Yep. And I have to give you $35 for that. No thanks.
Right. Well, or if you're Dean Cain and you hire somebody to walk in front of people's cameras.
Yeah, remember that bullshit?
Yeah.
I had my camera in my hand, and I was just spinning around in a circle to look who was around me, and I had that dude approach me and be like, "You can't point your camera in that direction." And I was like,
"Really?
I'm not shooting anything. You gotta pay so and so." I was like, "Dude, just go away. Do you want to see like what's on my camera? Prove that I don't give a shit about this dude. Like, what an asshole."
Mm-hmm. Rumor has it that Norman Reedus makes $200,000 per convention appearance.
I can see that.
I could do 1 weekend at a convention and not have to work the rest of the year.
Well, I mean, and that was always a thing of like, I think it was Jewel State from Firefly that was like, "Oh, yes. I've turned down work to come to conventions because you make more money." So,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why, like, we've been to conventions with Norman Reedus where he cancels the panels and stuff to stay and yep. sign autographs. And people are like, "Oh, that's so nice of him." And it's like, no, he knows where the money train is.
He's making money.
All he's got to do is shake hands and say hi and sign his name. Of course he's going to fucking do that.
Oh, if that.
Yeah.
They're saying Stephen Amell walks away with $250,000 a weekend.
I can see that.
That's ridiculous. I want to be famous.
Well, I will do my best.
Do your best, damn it. I don't want to be famous, not infamous.
Oh, well, see, now you're cutting hairs.
That's right.
I mean, you just really have to do one thing that gets you noticed on the internet to be invited to this shit.
Oh, sure.
Because then they could be like, "Oh, this is that guy from YouTube that does all the silly science fiction things."
Mm-hmm.
And then people are lining up at your table and you charge $25 and you make a tidy little sum and you walk away.
That's right.
You do that every weekend. You don't have to work anymore.
Record some answering machine messages.
Some what?
You know.
Are you drinking? Like, what's going on?
I am.
Oh.
I started early.
Oh, okay.
It's the only way to get through the day.
Yeah, well. Good times.
There's also a Comic-Con in Tampa this year.
Oh, yeah?
And it has no guests listed yet.
When is the show, though?
July.
Oh, well.
7 months.
Yeah. The horror convention that I normally go to in Charlotte is...
Mad Monster Party?
Yep. Is in February, and Carl Weathers is going.
Ooh.
So I was going to bring a 3D print of some Beskar blocks and have him sign it.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, I think you should bring an ice cream maker.
There are people on the internet that are making that.
Uh-huh.
Good times. Yeah, it's so I'm bringing that, and I'm going to bring, I'm making a Terminator arm. So,
okay.
Because Robert Patrick and Eddie Furlong from Terminator 2 are both going to be there. So I'm going to have them sign the back of it.
Well, that's cool.
And then I'll have a face hugger signed by the aliens people and a Terminator arm signed by the Terminator people.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out something for Carl Weathers, and like nobody has made like a 3D print of his gun from The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh shit, what can I do? Do I get a boxing glove? Do I get like, do I make a not a Predator helmet since he was in Predator? And I was like, no, yeah. I'll just make Beskar because that's easy to fucking make.
Right.
Paint it silver and be done with it.
Are you going to get Matthew Lillard's autograph on something from Scooby-Doo?
So the
box of Scooby snacks. Come on.
Yeah. The mad monster thing this year is Scream. So Neve Campbell and Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy is going to be there.
Yeah.
And I think the Ghostface guy is going to be there too.
Yes.
So I'm not interested in Scream. I've never a Scream fan, but like, I like to bring weird shit to have people sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking through Matthew Lillard's thing, and I was like, there's nothing really in his
wheelhouse.
Like, well, in his filmography where I was like, I can bring something that's funny.
You can print a box of Scooby snacks.
Nah.
Or you could bring dog biscuits and have him sign a dog biscuit. He'd love that.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I don't know. Where is he? Matthew Lillard. I mean, the top four on his IMDb are Scooby-Doo, The Descendants, Scooby-Doo 2, and Scream. Like, at that point...
You could get a Scream mask and have them all sign it.
No.
No?
Because what would I do with it? Like I'm not in...
Wear it.
I'm not in the business of having shit signed and then selling it. Like, that's just not...
No.
Although he wasn't Serial Mom, bringing that back to Kathleen Turner.
Oh, there you... I see. It all comes around.
He was in a movie called Serial Mom, and he played a character named Chip. And then a couple years later, he was in the movie Hackers, and he played a character named Serial.
Interesting.
Yeah. Scream, Scream 2. She's All That. Wing Commander.
Mm-hmm.
13 Ghosts. Scooby-Doo. And then he is Scooby-Doo for like the rest of his career.
Yes.
13 Graves. Oh, he's in The Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale, too, in 2007. For...
Okay.
Whatever. He did a movie called Spooner, where he played a guy called Herman Spooner, apparently.
He was a star.
Facing eviction from his parents' home on his 30th birthday, a socially awkward guy meets the girl of his dreams and creates his own rules for growing up. That old nugget. And he is the only person you've ever heard of in this cast. Oh, no, Mark Boone Jr. from Sons of Anarchy and...
Mandalorian.
And The Mandalorian. And, yeah. Find a copy of that for him to sign?
Yeah.
He'd be like, I was in this? He did additional voices in Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. He did something called Samurai Daycare.
Okay.
In 2012. He did a short called Blow Me.
Nice.
Yeah, see, there's nothing there that I'd be like, I'd be honored if you'd sign this. Here's a prized possession of mine. Good Girls? He was Shaggy on Teen Titans Go? Okay. Whatever.
Did they do a...
like a crossover?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Huh.
Apparently. So, yeah, I mean, Robert Englund was there a couple of years ago when I went, so I'm not really interested in seeing him. Doug Bradley hates the character Pinhead, so I'm not really sure why he's going, besides that it's money.
He can make money, yeah.
They got the little kid from The Shining, who's now an adult.
Right.
And it's like, okay. Like, we've been by those tables where, like, the child actors sit at these things, and they're all just kind of sitting there looking all sad and shit. So I don't know what that's going to be like. And then PJ Souls is there. She's been in a bunch of shit. She was in Halloween and Stripes with Bill Murray and a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think the three things, I'll get the three actors to sign their stuff.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Who knows what that'll cost me? Who knows how expensive Carl Weathers is?
I bet he's top of the line now. You can bring a pair of boxing trunks.
Red, white, and blue?
Yeah.
Sign it right next to the blood stain. That looks like real blood, because it is. I beat up a homeless guy with them in my hand. Oh, good times. All right, you got anything else for this week?
Nope. I think we covered it all. All
right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. We should be back for the foreseeable future until one of us gets dragged away for something.
Next couple of months, at least.
Yep, for the next couple of months. So follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
See ya.